Today, we come to the real Abhidhamma. The previous 2 weeks are just the preliminaries or introduction. And now we enter into the area of Abhidhamma. So today's subject is consciousness or chaita. There will be two classes or two talks on chaita. And today's talk is chaita number one. Now, I hope you remember what chaita is. Chaita is one of the four ultimate truths. And chaita is that which is aware of the object. And chaita is always with us, and chaita must have an object always. It is never without an object. And chaita has the characteristic of being aware of the object. So awareness of the object is the characteristic of chaita. And according to characteristic, there is only one chaita. Like according to humanness, and there is one human, but there are billions of human beings divided with regard to countries, races, cultures, and so on. So in the same way, according to the characteristic, there is only one chaita, which has this characteristic of being aware of the object. But chaita is divided into 89 or 121 types. And the first thing we will study today is just the broad division of chaita. The first division is the division or classification by spheres. Now, before we go to division according to spheres, we must understand what spheres are. Now, according to Abhidhamma, there are 31 planes of existence, 31 kinds of life or rebirths. And these 31 planes of existence are divided into three main spheres. So the first sphere is called sense sphere. That means the sphere where sense desire predominates. And sense sphere consists of animal kingdom, human beings, and devas. Devas are celestial beings, and also beings in four woeful states. That means beings in hell, and beings in being like ghosts. So these belong to these beings, or the realm of these beings belong to sense sphere. So when we say sense sphere, we mean the world of animals, human beings, devas, and some other beings of lower rebirth. Above the sense sphere, there is what we call the form sphere. Form sphere really means the sphere where desire for Brahma, the desire for the existence of Brahmas predominate. That means we want to be reborn as a Brahma. We want to be reborn as a form Brahma or formless Brahma, and so on. So that desire predominates in those realms. And so that realm is called form sphere. And there are altogether 16 realms or 16 planes of existence in the form sphere. And above this form sphere, there is formless sphere. These are the abodes of Brahmas who have no physical form, just the chaita and chaitasikas, existing there. So the realm for them is called formless sphere. So there are these three spheres. So according to these three spheres, Cetta is mainly broadly divided. So there are Cettas which arise mainly in sense sphere. They are altogether 54. We will come to them later. And there are those which arise mainly in form sphere, and there are those which arise mainly in formless sphere. So which arise mainly means they usually or generally arise in the sphere they are assigned to, but they may also arise in other spheres. So those which arise mainly in sense sphere may also arise in form sphere and formless sphere, but not as frequently as they do in the sense sphere. So there are now three kinds of Cetta. And the first kind is called Kama Vachara. So the C is pronounced Cha in Pali. And the second is Rupa Vachara, and the third is Arupa Vachara. And there is another kind of consciousness that transcends all these three spheres. That means that goes beyond the range of objects of sense desire or desire for form sphere or desire for formless sphere. So they are called, in Pali, they are called Lokuttara. Lokuttara really means, Uttara means to go beyond or transcend, and Loka means the world. So transcending the world. Transcending the world means transcending the sense sphere, form sphere, and formless sphere. They are called supramundane consciousness in English. So, according to spheres, there are four kinds of Cetas: Kama Vachara, Rupa Vachara, Arupa Vachara, and Lokuttara. Cetta can be divided according to another classification. That is classification by karmic activity. In Pali, the word is jati, which is translated as genus. So according to genus. But according to genus is difficult to understand. So I say according to karmic activity. That means there are cetas which give results. Now, when we say karma, we also understand there is the result of karma. So karmic activity means whether certain cetta give results, or it is the result itself, or it is neither giving results nor the result. So according to this karmic activity, again, cetta is broadly divided into four. And since there are good karma and, let us say, bad karma, or wholesome karma and unwholesome karma, there are two kinds of results. So there are consciousness, types of consciousness, which give good or happy results. And they are called Kusala in Pali, and they are translated as wholesome or profitable or skillful. So, or some translated as moral. So I like wholesome the best. And there are those which give bad results or painful results, and they are called Akusala. The A in front of Kusala means not. So not Kusala. Not Kusala means opposite of Kusala. So it is translated as unwholesome or unprofitable or non-skillful. But translating Kusala as skillful is, I think, a little, how to call, not quite correct and not quite good. Also, kusala can mean skillful, because you can kill a person skillfully, or you can plan a bank robbery skillfully, but that is not kusala. So I prefer wholesome to skillful. So that which give good results is called kusala, and that which gives bad results or painful results are called akusala, unwholesome. And there, the third type of consciousness, according to this classification, is the result of kusala or akusala. And here the result means the resultant chetas. Some chetas are result of karma, and some are not results. So there is a kind of chetas which is the result of kusala or akusala. We will deal with them a little later. And the last one is that which is neither. That means which neither gives results nor the resultant. So they do not give results, and they are not results. So this type of consciousness is called in Pali kriya, functional. That means they just arise in especially in Buddhas and Arahants, and they disappear. They do not leave any karmic activity. They do not have karmic activity, and they are not the results of any karma. So according to this classification, we have three or four giving results, and neither giving results nor not results. And those giving results can be divided into two as kusala and akusala, those giving happy results and those giving painful results. So according to this classification, there are four kinds of consciousness. Again, consciousness can be divided with regard to concomitants and others. Some types of consciousness are accompanied by pleasurable feeling, some are by displeasurable feeling, and some are by neutral feeling. So according to this classification, there can be three kinds of chetas, those accompanied by pleasurable feeling and so on. And some chetas are accompanied by wrong view, and some are not. And so according to this, there can be chetas which are accompanied by wrong view, and there are others which are not. But this does not apply to all types of chetas. This applies only to the unwholesome chetas. We will see them later. And some types of consciousness arise being prompted, and some arise spontaneously or without being prompted. So by prompting or inducement, there are two kinds of chetas, those that are prompted and those that are not prompted. And some chetas are accompanied by understanding or knowledge or wisdom, and some are not. So according to that, there are two kinds of chetas, those accompanied by understanding and those that are not. And then chetas can be divided, some of the chetas can be divided according to the number of jhana factors. These will all be dealt with later today and then next week. So if these are new to you, if you don't understand, please be patient with me. You will understand later. And then some types of consciousness are divided according to the objects they take, and these apply to the arupa vachara chetas. And last, there are chetas, the lokuttara chetas, which are divided according to paths and fruitions. there are four parts and four fruitions. So there are eight types of supramundane or Lokottara Cetas. So Cetas can be divided in many ways or in different ways. So when we take all these and apply these to different Cetas, then we get 89 or 121 types altogether. So we will now study the Cetas themselves. But before going to the list, we will have to have some kind of background knowledge to understand the individual Cetas. So the first group of Cetas is called Akusala Ceta, unwholesome consciousness. Now, unwholesome here means those accompanied by attachment or ill will or delusion. So anything which is accompanied by attachment or ill will or delusion is called akusala, called unwholesome here. So they give bad results. So we have to understand here six roots, six kinds of roots. They are called roots, and they are attachment, ill will, delusion, and they are opposites, non-attachment, non-ill will, say non-delusion. So there are altogether six kinds of roots. And there are types of consciousness which are accompanied by one or two or three of these roots. And there are another types of consciousness that are not accompanied by any of the roots. Actually, they are cetasikas. So you know cetta and cetasikas, right? So cetasikas are mental states. So this attachment, ill will, delusion, and their opposites are all cetasikas. So we will study cetasika in future lectures, and there are 52 cetasikas, and these are among these 52. And then, next page, three kinds of feeling, that is pleasurable, displeasurable, and neutral. When we come across or when we experience objects, maybe material objects or thoughts in our minds, we always have this feeling. Sometimes we have a good feeling or pleasurable feeling, sometimes displeasurable, and sometimes neither pleasurable nor displeasurable, neutral feeling. Sometimes we are happy, and sometimes we are upset or angry or depressed, and sometimes we are neither. So there are three kinds of feelings, and every cetta is accompanied by one of these three feelings. No cetta is without the feeling. Feeling is one of the 52 cetasikas, and as you may have read, feeling is one of the five aggregates. The second aggregate is called vedana. And then some types of consciousness in the unwholesome group are accompanied by wrong view. So we must understand what wrong view means according to, say, Buddhist teachings. Because I think it is a relative term, wrong view. If you ask people who belong to some other religion, then you will get a different answer. So now here, wrong view is according to Buddha's teachings. Now, a belief that there is no karma is a wrong view in Buddhism. So if we are Buddhists, if we accept Buddha's teachings, then we also accept that there is karma. There is the action, karma. And we have to accept that these karmas have results. They give results. So if we take that there is no karma, whatever you do, you just do it, and there is nothing which we call karma, and there are no results of this karma, then that kind of belief we call wrong view. And then there are people who do not believe in rebirth. There is not this world, there is no other world, and so on. They are all included in the wrong view. And also, the belief in a permanent self or permanent soul, that is also wrong view according to Buddhism. Buddha teaches the anatta doctrine, no soul doctrine. So according to his teachings, there is no permanent entity or permanent soul, everlasting. In the beings or outside beings. So if there is a belief in a permanent soul, and this is called wrong view according to Buddhism. So the types of consciousness can be accompanied by the wrong view, or they may not. And then prompting. Prompting means encouragement or inducement or prompting. Sometimes we encourage ourselves to do something. We have to induce ourselves. Sometimes we are ordered by some other person, we are encouraged by some other person, and then we do it. Sometimes we are forced by circumstances to do it. So all these are called inducement. Sometimes the consciousness arises spontaneously. You don't have to be induced by anything. You just it just arises spontaneously. So when a type of consciousness arises by inducement, then we call it a prompted consciousness. And when it arises spontaneously, we call it unprompted. And then we should understand displeasure and ill will, because we will come to that in the 12th akusala consciousness. Displeasure is feeling. In Abhidhamma, the word is domanasa. So displeasure is feeling, and ill will is not feeling according to Abhidhamma. I mean, the word for ill will is patigha, patigha. Another word for padiga is dosa. I think you are familiar with the word dosa, D-O-S-A. So displeasure or domanasa, D-O-M-A-N-A-S-S-A, domanasa. Displeasure is feeling, but ill will or dosa or anger is not feeling. It is a kind of chitasika, a separate chitasika, a distinct mental state, and they always arise together, accompanied by one another. But although they arise together, they are different mental states. One is feeling and the other is not. And then we will come to a consciousness which is accompanied by doubt. Now doubt also means doubt about the Buddha, doubt about the Dhamma, about Sangha, doubt about the practice, doubt about the dependent origination, and so on. So not every indecision is doubt. Because sometimes you may be in doubt which road to take. Say you are at the crossroad and you don't know which road to take. And that kind of doubt is not meant here. So the doubt meant here is doubt about the Buddha, whether Buddha really existed, or whether it is just a myth or something like that, and whether the Dhamma he taught really can help us to get rid of mental defilements or not, and so on. So such doubts are called doubt here. And then restlessness. Now restlessness here is of the mind, not of the body. When we say a person is restless, that means he or she may be, say, shaking or moving here and there. But here restlessness means mental restlessness, agitation in the mind. That means the mind's inability to be squarely on the object. It is like removed from the object. It is different from doubt. Doubt takes this object or that object. It goes from one object to another. Maybe this is it, or maybe this is another thing, or another thing, and so on. But restlessness means inability of the consciousness to be really on the object. In Pali, it is called uddhajja, and the literal translation is something like lifted above or shaking above. That means not stuck to the object, but a little farther from object and wavering, something like that. So that is called restlessness here. So after understanding this, we can go to the list of the types of consciousness. So please look at the handout, 89 or 121 types of consciousness. So unwholesome consciousness, 12. And among these 12, there are 8 which are rooted in attachment. So consciousness rooted in attachment, 8 types of consciousness. Now, rooted in really means accompanied by. Please do not take it to mean caused by or come from. Rooted in really means just accompanied by. But the Pali word mula is used here, M-U-L-A. That is why in the translation we have the word root. But it does not mean that it comes from or it is caused by attachment. But what it means here is it arises together with attachment. It is accompanied by attachment. So consciousness accompanied by attachment. There are 8 types of consciousness. So number 1 is what? With pleasure, with wrong view, unprompted. With pleasure means accompanied by pleasurable feeling. With wrong view means accompanied by wrong view and unprompted. Number 2, with pleasure, with wrong view, prompted. Number 3, with pleasure, without wrong view, unprompted. Number 4, with pleasure, without wrong view, prompted, and so on. So sometimes these types of consciousness are accompanied by pleasurable feeling and sometimes by indifferent feeling. And the examples are given in the manual. Say, a boy may joyfully steal something. Not encouraged by others, just spontaneously. So in that case, the first type of consciousness arises in him. Sometimes we are attached to something. And we know that it is wrong to be attached to it, but still we are attached to it. So in that case, our consciousness may be without wrong view, but with accompanied by attachment. And if we are happy with it, then it will be accompanied by pleasure. So we can see for ourselves what types of consciousness is arising in us, if we understand all these things and these 8 types of consciousness. Sometimes we are attached to things, but we do not feel pleasure or displeasure, but just a neutral feeling. So in that case, our consciousness will be accompanied by indifference or just neutral feeling. Here the same, yes. That is why I say neutral feeling. So indifference is a little... not quite, but I don't know how to say. A neutral feeling is, I think, better than the word indifference. That is, you are neither happy nor unhappy about this thing, but you still have attachment to it. You may say you own a house or something, and you are, since it is your house, you have attachment to your house. But say you have been with this house for say years, and so you are not so much happy with the house, and not unhappy either. You just have the house, and you just have that attachment without strong emotion, something like that. So these are the eight types of consciousness rooted in or accompanied by attachment. So when we are attached to something, when we desire something, or when we are attached to people, then one of these eight types of consciousness arises in our minds. Sometimes it may be with wrong view. Sometimes it may be not. So these are the eight types of consciousness. The next group is consciousness rooted in ill will. That means accompanied by ill will, accompanied by dosa. Now, in Abhidhamma, dosa, fear is also dosa. I mean, dosa is translated as anger or maybe hatred. But fear is also a kind of dosa. We call it maybe anger, we call it aggressive, and fear, what do you call that? Opposite of aggressive. Passive. Passive anger, something like that. So both anger and fear are called ill will or dosa in Abhidhamma. So there are two kinds of two types of consciousness accompanied by ill will, and that is number one, with displeasure, with ill will, unprompted. Maybe the unprompted consciousness arises very often in us. We don't have to be prompted. We just get angry very easily. even when you drove here, you may be annoyed with something or some other driver, and then you have one of these two kinds of consciousness. Mostly, I think the these types of consciousness arise unprompted. There may be occasions where we have to be encouraged or induced to get angry, but anger is so difficult to control that it just comes up. And it is fortunately there are only two types of consciousness accompanied by ill will. So when we, let us say, should I say we? So when we kill something, some animal, some human being, then we kill with one of these two types of consciousness. Now, in Abhidhamma, killing is done always with one of these two kinds of types of consciousness. Even though you may be laughing when you kill, but the actual moment of killing is accompanied by ill will or dosa. Sometimes in the olden days, the kings may sentence someone to be executed. They put him to sleep or some things. They may be laughing when they say this, but when at the very moment of saying this, there is this ill will or something like an anger arising in him. So killing is done always with one of these two kinds of types of consciousness. So there can be no mercy killing according to Abhidhamma. You may have mercy at one moment, but the moment of killing is accompanied by dosa.
Technological age where, like, you know, they're killing cattle or stuff like that, done by pushing a button. So you don't have that kind of, you know.
But you know, when you push the button, you know that the person is to be killed, that the one is going to be killed. So you have this understanding that he's going to be killed, he's going to die. So that action is prompted by or accompanied by a feeling of ill will, a feeling of domanasa. Because mind works very fast, and mind moments, thought moments are so brief that they can come one after the other, and we would not be able to see the difference between these types of consciousness. But still, they arise one after another. Now, the third group, consciousness rooted in delusion, rooted in moha, ignorance. There are two. One is accompanied by doubt, and the other is accompanied by restlessness. So restlessness of mind or agitation of mind. And this, the number 12 or number 2 of the those deluded in delusion, we experience when we practice meditation. Sometimes our mind doesn't seem to be able to be on the object. It's always a little away from the object and something like that. And these two types of consciousness, rooted in delusion or accompanied by delusion, are always accompanied by indifference, because they are by nature weak, and so they cannot have strong emotion like pleasure or displeasure. So they are always accompanied by indifference or neutral feeling. So these 12, the 8 rooted in attachment, 2 rooted in ill will, and 2 rooted in delusion, these 12 are called akusala cetta. Unwholesome types of consciousness. And the results they give are also bad or undesirable or displeasurable. Now, the next group is called rootless consciousness. Rootless consciousness. There are altogether 18 of them. And in Pali, they are called ahetuka cetas. Why are they called rootless? They are called rootless because they are not accompanied by any of the 6 roots I just mentioned. Oh. We met 6 roots, right? Attachment, ill will, delusion, and the opposite of these. So there are 6 roots. These types of consciousness, the second group, 18, are not accompanied by any of these roots. Therefore, they are called rootless. So we should not understand them to be without cause, because out of 18, 15 are the results of wholesome karma and unwholesome karma. They are results of karma. Most of them are results of karma, and so they are caused by karma. But they are called rootless because they are not accompanied by, or they do not arise together with any of the roots, attachment, ill will, delusion, and the opposites of these 3. That is why And these types of consciousness are called rootless consciousness. Now, there are two kinds of results of karma. Since there are two kinds of karma, wholesome and unwholesome, there are two kinds of results. Good results and bad results, desirable results and undesirable results, or happy results and painful results. So we will have consciousness that are that types of consciousness that are results of bad karma and that are results of good karma. Now, before we study these 18 types of consciousness, we should know something about the sequence of moments of consciousness, because many among the 18 are just the different moments of consciousness arising in a given thought process. So the sequence of moments of consciousness is important for the understanding of the rootless consciousness. And in the books, a simile is given to understand the sequence of this consciousness in a given thought process. And so please look at the sheet of mango's simile. Now, a certain man with his head covered went to sleep at the foot of a fruiting mango tree. Then a ripe mango loosened from the stalk fell to the ground, grazing his ear. Awakened by that sound, he opened his eyes and looked. Then stretching out his hand, he took the fruit, squeezed it, smelled it, ate it, enjoying it, swallowed it together with the saliva, and went to sleep again. Now, there are, broadly speaking, two kinds of consciousness: non-conscious consciousness and conscious consciousness. One is in something like inactive consciousness, and the other is active consciousness. Now, moments of inactive consciousness arise in us almost every time, every moment. So there is this flow of moments of inactive consciousness. And then when an object comes into the avenue of our senses, that flow of inactive consciousness is disturbed or interrupted, first disturbed. And after 3 moments, it stopped. That flow of inactive consciousness stopped, and then active consciousness takes over. So these are explained in different moments, and these moments arise one after the other. So one moment arises, it disappears, and another moment arises. But in order to understand the sequence of thought moments, we have to assume it as one series of thought moments. We have to see it as a line, although there is no line at all. And mostly, a thought process consists of 17 moments. When we see something, when we hear something, when we smell something, when we taste something, when we touch something, then a thought process arises in our minds, and that thought process consists of 17 moments. And so before the 17, there are zeros in the chart. So zeros mean the inactive thought moments. They are technically called life continuum in Pali, Bhavanga. And then number 1, 2, 3 are called, they are still inactive thought moments. But from number one on, they are disturbed. The mango fell to the ground, and so the sleep is disturbed. And then, after shaking for one moment is passed, and after shaking for two moments, it stops. The flow of the inactive moment stops, and then active moment takes over. So the first active moment is called what? Number four. Sense adverting, actually sense door adverting. That means from the inactive moments, it turns to active moment. It turns to the sense door. I mean the eye door, ear door, and so on. Because this thought process will arise through the eye door, through the eye. So after turning to the object, or after turning to the active moments, there is seeing consciousness. You see something. And after seeing moment, the consciousness of the mind moment, it turns to active moment. It turns to the sense door. I mean the eye door, ear door, and so on. Because this thought process will arise through the eye door, through the eye. So after turning to the object, or after turning to the active moments, there is seeing consciousness. You see something. And after seeing moment, the consciousness of the mind receives the object. So first just seeing it and then receive it. And after receiving it, what? Investigates it. Whether it is a desirable object or undesirable object. After investigating it, it determines it. Right, this is desirable object, or this is undesirable object. After determining it, it experiences it thoroughly. And this experience of the object lasts for 7 thought moments. And these are the most important moments in one given thought process, these 7 thought moments. They are called apperception. I don't know what apperception means actually. And in Pali, they are called javana.
In the dictionary, it says to comprehend the by assimilating the mass of concepts already in the mind.
Actually, it is the full experience of the object. That is what is meant here. Some translate it as impulsion. Both words are not met with very often. So I prefer to call it javana. So there are 7 moments of javana. And it is during these 7 moments that you acquire karma. Karma is acquired during these 7 thought moments. It may be wholesome kusala karma or unwholesome akusala karma. So until you reach this moment, there is no karma, there is no kusala or akusala yet. But when you reach the 9th thought moment, from 9th to 15th, then you acquire, or you do good karma or bad karma. So looking at an object, and if you are attached to it, then there will be akusala thought moments. If you are not attached to it, for example, when you are practicing meditation and just watching it and making notes and seeing or something like that, then the karma will be kusala, I mean wholesome karma. So, depending upon how we react to the object, the quality of javana comes. It may be kusala or akusala, depending upon how we react, how we look at it, and how much we are informed about things and so on. So these are the most important moments in a given thought process. And after these seven thought moments, there come two moments, and they are called, in English, registering consciousness. Actually, they are like aftertaste. You eat something, and then you swallow the remaining small particles in it, and that is compared to these two thought moments. So these two thought moments follow the seven jhavana moments. So they are called in Pali tadaramana. So it is translated in the English as registering. I don't know whether registering is really, really correct or really right here. But registering here means just going after or following the jhavana moments and taking the same object as the jhavanas. It is compared to compared to water following the boat. So when you row a boat upstream, then water follows the boat a little, or something like that. These two thought moments follow the jhavana moments. And so they are called Tadharamana in Pali, and they are translated as registering consciousness. So after these two moments, the process comes to an end, and so lapse into inactive consciousness again, or life continuum again. So the life continuum or inactive consciousness and the active consciousness always alternate. See, there are inactive moments and then active moments, then inactive moment and so on. So they are like buffer between active thought moments or thought processes. But this is only one of the many kinds of thought processes. Now we can go to the 18 rootless consciousness. There are 18 rootless consciousness, and they are subdivided into three groups. The first group, unwholesome resultant consciousness. That means consciousness that is types of consciousness that are result of unwholesome karma. Can I use plural number for consciousness? Can I say consciousnesses? Okay. Now there are seven of them in this group. The first one is eye consciousness. Eye consciousness really means seeing consciousness. So when you see something, that consciousness arises in our mind, in your mind. And second is ear consciousness. That means hearing consciousness. When you hear something, you substitute the eye consciousness with ear consciousness. And then the third is nose consciousness. That is when you smell something. And the fourth is tongue consciousness, when you eat something, when you taste something. And the fifth is body consciousness. That is when you have touch with anything. And the sixth is receiving consciousness, the one in the thought process. And the seventh is investigating consciousness. Now, body consciousness here is accompanied by pain. You hit yourself, and there is pain there, and you experience it. So the experience in your mind is what is meant here. Pain itself is, what we call pain, is a material, some kind of matter in your body, and you have the experience of that pain, and that experience is what is called pain here. So pain here should be understood as arising in the mind. It is one of the feelings. There are three kinds of feelings or five kinds of feelings. So it is, this feeling is connected with bodily sensation. Right. Very good. It's called dukkha. And then six is receiving consciousness, and seventh is investigating consciousness. These are the results of akusala. So when you see something you don't want to see, or undesirable object, then it is the result of your karma in the past. You have to blame yourself, and not the other persons, or not the thing itself. Since you did something in the past, some akusala in the past, and now you get the result of that akusala in seeing what you don't want to see, in seeing ugly things or the other things. Especially past lives. Yeah. Now, another group, the second group, is wholesome resultant consciousness. So they are the result of wholesome karma or kusala karma. So when you see something desirable, beautiful, good, or when you hear something which you like, then you will have the types of consciousness given in this group. So eye consciousness or seeing consciousness, ear consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. And the fifth one is with happiness. That is when you have good touch. Say when you put on dress which are soft to the touch, and you have that feeling, and that is body consciousness with happiness. And Pali, it is sukha. It is the opposite of dukkha. And then we have receiving consciousness, and here two kinds of investigating consciousness. Depending on whether the object is average desirable or very desirable. So when the object is very desirable, it will be accompanied by pleasure, pleasurable feeling. And when it is just average desirable, then it will be accompanied by indifference. Sometimes the object is very desirable. Like say for Buddhists, the Buddha is the very desirable object. Or say for young people, those of opposite sex may be very desirable objects. So there are altogether eight types of consciousness which are result of good karma or wholesome karma in the past. The third group consists of three types of consciousness, and they are rootless functional consciousness. Functional. They are not the result of anything, and they do not give results. So they just arise and disappear. They do not leave anything behind, and they are not result of anything in the past, and so they are called functional. And there are three types of functional consciousness. The first one is five sense door advertising consciousness, and it is number 4 in the thought process. Sense door advertising. That means adverting or turning the mind to the sense object through the sense door, to the object through the sense door. So when we experience something through five senses, and this type of consciousness is the beginning of that thought process.
So this means four by mango. Four is the function mango.
Yes, ma'am. In mango simile, number 4. And then next one is mind door adverting consciousness, and this This is similar to the five sense door adverting consciousness, but it arises in the thought process, which arises through mind door. That means we think of something. We do not see or we do not hear anything, but we think of something in our mind, and that is this thought process. And in that kind of thought process, there is no five sense door adverting simply because the object is not accepted through five senses. It is accepted through mind. Mind is in Abhidhamma, sixth sense. In Abhidhamma, there are six senses, and mind is the sixth. So when we think of something without the help of five senses, then there is another kind of thought process. And in that thought process, this mind door adverting consciousness acts just as the five sense door adverting consciousness acts in the other kind of thought process. And for your information, this mind or adverting consciousness also arises in the thought process given under mango simile, but it has a different function in this thought process. So the types of consciousness have different functions. We will study about functions in coming lectures. So what is stated in the mango simile as determining consciousness is in fact this mind door adverting consciousness. So it has two functions. Sometimes it has a function of adverting through mind door, and when it arises in the five sense door, it is the function of determining. So it has two functions. And the last one is smile-producing consciousness. But unfortunately, it is only for Buddhas and Arahants and not for us. We smile with some other types of consciousness, but not with this type of consciousness. It is said in the books that it arises only in the Buddhas and Arahants. So Buddhas and Arahants smile with this type of consciousness. So we have altogether three rootless functional consciousness. So when we add seven, eight, and three, we get 18 types of rootless consciousness. Now the numbers at the end of the lines in the parentheses are the consecutive numbers. So it will go up to 121. So we can refer to the types of consciousness by these numbers, say number 13, number 15, something like that. Please say it again.
Is there such a thing as neutral karma?
Neutral karma?
Well, rootless functional consciousness, you said, is not accompanied by any of the six roots.
Right. Rootless functional are not result.
It is not the result.
Not result, and it does not give result.
So there's no karma
attached. No karma attached here. There is no karma in all these 18 types of consciousness, but in the 12 unwholesome consciousness, we have the karma, akusala karma. You know, karma really is a mental factor, cetasika. What we call karma is cetasika. We will come to karma later, but let me tell you something here. You know, when we talk about karma and when people talk about karma and when we explain it, we say good action or bad action. But technically speaking, according to Abhidhamma, karma is not the action itself, but the volition, a state of mind, a chetasika, accompanying that action. So karma is not physical, but it's mental. It one kind of cetasika. And the volition or in a Pali chetana, volition or chetana is with every type of consciousness, but only chetana accompanying the wholesome and unwholesome chetas is called karma. It accompanies every one of the 89 types of consciousness, but not all consciousness constitute karma. So karma is chetana, which accompanies unwholesome and wholesome types of consciousness. And here with all these 18 types of consciousness, that chetana arises. But it is not called karma here. It has no potential as karma. It's just a mental factor arising with these. So that chetana here is not called karma. In the dependent origination, the second factor or second link is sankhara. And what is sankhara there? Actually, karma. So karma is called sankhara there. And there, sankhara are those the volition accompanying akusala chetas, and then karma vajra, wholesome chetas, rupa vajra chetas, arupa vajra chetas. So chetana or volition accompanying kusala or akusala chetas is karma. Here, since these types of consciousness are not kusala or akusala, there is no karma in these types of consciousness. Yes. Actually, we do not use this system in meditation, but we come to be aware of, we come to see at least some of these chetas when we practice meditation. Now, meditation is developing the mind, or controlling the mind. So we first try to make mind still, calm and still, so that it can penetrate into the nature of things. So during meditation, especially vipassana meditation, because when you practice vipassana meditation, you have to be mindful of everything at the present moment. So you have to be mindful of your thoughts too. So when you pay attention to these thoughts, the different thoughts coming and going, and you can be aware of many of these types of consciousness. But you may not be able to name them, although you really experience them and you really, let's say, see them. Not with your eyes, but you really see them. So They are the ones which can be experienced by oneself, especially through meditation.
So you might, even though during the meditation, not think this is this cheetah or whatever, if you reflected on the meditation later, you might be able to relate these aspects to what you're experiencing.
But if you have the knowledge of this before you practice meditation, then you may be able to say to yourself, oh, this is it. This is akusala cheta, or this is kusala cheta. This is a mental factor feeling, this is mental factor volition, and so on.
And also, was this system put together by the Buddha?
traditional belief is that it was formulated by Buddha. In Theravada tradition, it is stated that Buddha taught Abhidhamma in his seventh year to the celestial beings, not to human beings. And then he taught again to Sariputta, his disciple, and Sariputta taught to his 500 disciples. And that version of Sariputta was the one accepted at the first Buddhist Council and taken down until the present day.
On the first page, number 2, unwholesome consciousness, the personal achievement, it says six groups, the 3, attachment, ill will, and their opposites.
Yes.
Are there opposites under unwholesome consciousness also?
Oh, no. The first 3 are unwholesome.
Okay.
And their opposites are, some are wholesome, some are neutral. Because the other 3 will accompany, we will see later, the other 3 will accompany both wholesome consciousness and resultant consciousness. Resultant consciousness are not wholesome or unwholesome, they are resultant. So they will accompany, also they will accompany the functional consciousness. So 3 roots of unwholesome and 3 roots of wholesome and neutral. Actually, to use the word, a technical word, they are the roots of wholesome and roots of abhyakata. A-B-Y-A-K-A-T-A. Now, let me explain that word, because that word is not correctly explained in the manual. The word abhyakata, A-B-Y-A-K-A-T-A. In order to understand that word, we must understand the sequence taught in the first book of Abhidhamma. So when Buddha explained all dhammas in different ways, or in triads and dyads and so on, Buddha said, there are those that are kusala. That is 1. 2, there are those that are akusala. And then the 3rd one, there are those that are abhyakata. Now, abhyakata, the literal translation of the word abhyakata is not said, or not declared. That means not declared as either kusala or akusala. So, in fact, it means which are neither kusala nor akusala are called abhyakata. They are translated as indeterminate. But actually, abhyakata really means not declared as either kusala or akusala. That is why abhyakata covers not only citta and citta-sika, but also metta, rupa, and also nibbana. They are all called abhyakata because they are not termed kusala or akusala. So anything that is not called akusala, kusala or akusala is abhyakata. These 3 roots, opposite of the 3, I mean, non-attachments, non-ill will, and non-delusion, are called kusala roots and abhyakata roots. Kusala roots when they accompany kusala consciousness, and abhyakata roots when they accompany abhyakata consciousness. And abhyakata consciousness are those that belong to the second group which we study today, the resultant consciousness and functional consciousness, and there will be some more next week. There is an example and there is an explanation. But sometimes it is difficult to give explanations, because in the explanation itself, there is something that has to be explained further. But I'll try to explain it to you. Now, first, you must understand that there are different kinds of matter, or let us say material properties. And broadly divided, they are broadly divided into two. The one on which the other depend, let us call primary properties and depending properties. And there are four primary properties: earth, water, fire, and air. They are called four primary, in Pali, great elements. And then there are other material properties that are said to be dependent upon these four great elements. And so these four great elements are like the basis, something more solid than the other ones which depend on it. Now, when we see something, we really see the color of it. Not the thing, but the color. The color is what we see. And that color is one of the depending material properties. Now, when you see something, that color or that visible object strikes against your eye. And the eye sensitivity, I mean the eye sensitivity, in modern terms it may be the retina. So the eye sensitivity is also included in the depending material properties. So they are soft ones. So when one soft one strikes another soft one, and there is not strong impact. Only when there is strong impact can there be pleasurable feeling or displeasurable feeling. When the impact is like between two cotton balls, cotton wool, there is no strong feeling. So that is why seeing consciousness and others are accompanied by indifference or neutral feeling. But it is only at that very moment that it is accompanied by neutral feeling. But when you reach the jhavana's moment, the apperception, jhavana moment, you can have any kind of feeling there. You see something and you are happy, or you see something and you are angry. But at the very moment of seeing, the first moment of seeing, that's accompanied by indifference. Okay, I'm afraid you'll have to read more for next week, or you'll have some more handouts next week.
The reading is for next week is page 37 to 70. And we'll try to have 37 to 70 in this amendment of time. So I'll try to have the lecture 4 down there as soon as we can.
One thing. This chart is, if you want to study them, study the different kinds of consciousness in detail, then this chart is very helpful. And it is good to identify these dots with, with pleasure, with wrong view, unprompted. The first dot, with pleasure, with wrong view, unprompted. Second thought, with pleasure, with wrong view, prompted, and so on. And you will see the zeros in the sheets, on the sheets. And these are for you to put in color. And you can use any color. It is arbitrary that I used reds and blues. So the red color represents pleasurable feeling, and blue, indifferent feeling or neutral feeling. Green, displeasurable feeling. And crosses also, green cross is dukkha, pain. And red cross is not ambulance. Red cross is sukha, happiness.
Blue
color, yes, blue circles represent those accompanied by neutral feeling, yes. And the reds are accompanied by pleasurable feeling. So the first line, the first column represent the 12 unwholesome jhanas. And the next three columns represent the 18 rootless jhanas. The first of the three columns represent unwholesome resultant, and the second column wholesome resultant, and the third column, which has only three dots, functional, rootless functional consciousness. And now you will see the last dot is in red color. So the smile-producing consciousness is accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and the other two are accompanied by indifferent feeling. If you study these little by little, then you in about, say, 2-3 weeks, you will have the whole chart in your mind. But do not be afraid of this chart, because you cannot study it in a day or two, but if you study it little by little, then it's become easy. Yes, yeah. Because we have to devise things to help people learn, because we taught Abhidhamma to very young novices, say about 12 or 13 years of age. And so not only this, we have to, we use some other things to, like, some balls or something. Or some, and then, what do you call that? Can you what do you call that?
Marble.
Some shells, some side shells. Pardon? Yes, I can give you the charts next week, but they are not colored. You have to put the color yourself. and it is very good to put color yourself, so that you remember more, and you need concentration. You make one mistake and you have to do it all over again. But please do not worry if you cannot study all these in detail, because this course is just an introduction and not the detailed study of the manual. Because if I have to teach as I taught before, it would need about 60 hours or 60 talks. It took more than a year for me to finish the course. That is teaching once a week.